even the Quran itself, which is the word of Allah, has layers of the or different types of verses. Verses in which the meaning is crystal clear and it's oft repeated. Verses in which it could be understood in two different ways. We call that dhanni, right? Speculative. It could mean this, it could mean that, right? That's where human ijtihad by pious Muslim scholars comes into play. And we do hold that those opinions are semi-sacred. Semi-sacred meaning what? Meaning that it's rooted in the book and the sunnah, but it requires the thought of a human being. All right. So we could say that the word of God and his prophet is sacred text. The words of scholars interpreting those words, all right, we could say is also semi-sacred. We're not going to say it's sacred, right? But semi-sacred. So in that respect, there are multiple schools within the truth. So you have the one tranche no one can disagree with. That is that which has been repeated over and over and over. And it's crystal clear, is not up for discussion at all. And it's not up for discussion even if it wasn't repeated over and over. If it's one time it was revealed in the Quran and it's crystal clear and there's no discussion about it, the meaning cannot be interpreted away, then there's no discussion. And that's Islam, period. Discussion over. Okay. Then there is that other layer of hadiths, verses and hadiths, sayings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that could be interpreted either way. And then there's, on top of that, problems that didn't exist in the early era of Muslims. And scholars have to give rulings about those problems. They have to solve those problems. They have to. They don't have a choice. They must. If you're a scholar of Islam, you must. And there's a fitna in your community. You must. The scholars must come up with a solution. Okay? And that's where you have now a fork in the road. And these are innovations. But they can be necessary innovation. What's the example of a necessary innovation that every Muslim observes today? Multiple mosques in one city. Okay? You shouldn't have Jummah except one Jummah in the town. There should only be one Jummah in every town. That's the rule of Islam. Why? Because that's how the Prophet lived. In the city of Medina, there was one Jummah prayer. As a result of that, the Sahaba took that as a rule. That in the city, there should be one Jummah prayer. The city should unify on one khutbah every Friday. Well, that's in the case where it's physically possible. As soon as the city now becomes so massive and so huge, you have to accommodate multiple Jummahs. That's a necessary innovation. Okay? It's a necessary innovation. How about this? You cannot have multiple jama'ah prayers in one mosque. For example, you can't have two dhuhrs. Hey, there's a dhuhr salah at one, and we're going to pray dhuhr again at two. The second imam, we got two imams. That's not allowed in Islam. We're not allowed to do that. Why? Because we can only pray as the Prophet prayed. The Prophet never did that. The Prophet, when it comes to salah, the Prophet clearly said, pray as you see me pray. So the methodology of learning how to pray is only from the Prophet, peace be upon him. Then comes, now imagine, what about Jummah? Jummah is far more important, right? Jummah is far more important. Jummah prayer is fard on an adult male who's resident, and praying in the Jummah is sunnah. So how now, what now about the fatwa that we have multiple Jummahs, khutbahs in one masjid? Multiple khutbahs in one masjid every Friday. Why? Because the parking just won't allow for it. I don't know of a single masjid out there that is of a sizable, in a sizable community that has one Jummah. In North Jersey, in Patterson, they have four Jummah salahs. The parking just won't allow for it otherwise. So that is a necessary innovation. What is a recommended innovation? An innovation we all observe as Muslims that has no basis in the action of the Prophet or the companions. And yet, everyone does it. Taraweeh, starting the first night with Alif Lam Mim, Surah Al-Baqarah, and all the way we recite at the end, Surah An-Nas. Why is it recommended? So that everyone can hear the Quran. Khitam of Quran is highly recommended to do. The Sahaba never did it. The second generation never did it. Who knows? Maybe the fourth generation, fifth generation is the first generation of Muslims to do that. So when we talk about innovations, there are obligatory innovations, necessary innovations, permitted innovations, discouraged innovations, and forbidden innovations. And that is the philosophy of the great commander of right, forbidder of wrong, great scholar, Sultan al-Ulama Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, the Syrian scholar who was expelled from Syria by the governor because he forbid wrong. He was forbidding wrong on some matters. He expelled him. He went to Egypt. Izz ibn Abd al-Salam then is one of those who classified the innovation in this manner. The Hanabila never accepted it. So we have to be fair and say that there is another view of this. So they don't accept it. And so how do they explain? They just have different terminology because they also recognize the necessity of the three things that I mentioned. Multiple Jumas in the city, multiple khutbas in one masjid, and Tarawih from Khatm, from Fatiha to Nas, or Baqara to Nas. They also do this, and they recognize that. But they just term it differently. They give it different terms. I don't know what they call it. I'm not an expert when it comes to Hanbali innovations in the Hanbali school.